summertime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
If you're topping off your burger with grilled onions and blue cheese, pair your work of art with a spicy Malbec.
Nothing beats a buttery Chardonnay with grilled corn on the cob. I'm ready to find you the perfect bottle of white for your next get-together.
Pack up the cooler for this weekend. We've got canned wine and beer ready to throw on ice.
Now with 9 locations in the Bay Area. Visit our newest store at Stevens Creek Central. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, Divya. Thanks for joining me. Now, you mentioned earlier in your presentation that valuations for the ringgit do look really attractive. And this comes as our currency has become disconnected to fundamentals. What, in your view, then, is a fair value of the ringgit?
So we think that the fair value for dollar ringgit is somewhere between 4 and 4.1. This is based on a number of valuation models that we look at. But again, with the problem with valuations is it's not a very good short-term predictor of exchange rates. In the long-term, sure, valuations matter, but it's not a very good short-term predictor. So short-term, currency can sort of stay at elevated levels, or dollar ringgit can stay elevated in the short-term. But longer-term, over the course of 1 or 2 years, we do think that dollar ringgit should stabilize somewhere on the 4 level.
So what's really hindering the ringgit from trading closer to its fundamentals? I mean, with the sentiment factor at play here, relative to our neighbouring countries, how much more are we driven by sentiment and why?
Yeah, I think for ringgit, sentiment has played a much more important role than valuations. And sort of that makes ringgit as a sort of one of a kind in the region where it's become completely dislocated from fundamentals and it's entirely being driven by sentiment. What has driven this, in our view, it's more of a liquidity issue. Onshore spot market liquidity has deteriorated. As a result of that, volatility has picked up. And as a result of that, both onshore corporates and foreign investors are taking a slightly more negative view on the ringgit, which again becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because exporters are not supplying enough dollars, foreign investors are also not supplying dollars, and that leads to the markets being more one-sided. And that's what's driving this divergence from fundamentals. But again, longer term, I don't think this divergence can persist.
What's your advice to local and foreign investors? Would you suggest for them to hold or buy ringgit at this point?
So for foreign investors, I think there are two factors that they should be looking at. One is valuations, because if you are a long-term investor, valuations are extremely attractive. In fact, I would say that Malaysia's valuations are the most attractive in Asia across countries. The other thing that you would look at is, of course, how local assets are doing and how market is positioned in those assets. And from talking to foreign investors, it seems that positioning in both Malaysian equities and debt markets, they are underweight. From these factors, it does look like that Malaysia could be an attractive long-term investment for foreign investors. For domestic investors, I think it depends on your time horizon. If you have a short-term time horizon, then sure, there are some challenges related to the Fed rate hike trajectory related to China. But again, if you take a really longer-term time horizon as an investor, then surely ringgit will be a very attractive investment.
So one thing is valuations, but the other is the ability for the ringgit to pick up strength. Is there a risk that in the longer term, it may not trade closer to its fundamentals, considering how in the past 1 to 2 years, it has been so severely and still affected by sentiment?
Yeah, I mean, generally, currencies tend to go back or mean reverting in a sense. So if you look at EM currencies as a whole, and real effective exchange rate is a very simple way of looking at it, it does tend to be mean reverting. So over a longer enough time period, currencies do tend to revert back to mean. So sure, there can be deviations both in terms of undervaluation or overvaluation, which can last for a couple of years. But over a longer term period, that does not last. That's not something that we have seen persist over a longer enough time period anywhere else in the world. So I don't think that should be the case for Malaysia as well.
Now, the ringgit in recent times has often been linked to the dollar story. What about the Chinese yuan or Chinese economy in this case? You know, with the ringgit being in China's basket of currencies, how much of the ringgit's movement will be affected by the yuan?
Yeah, I think in terms of our analysis, dollar ringgit is the most sensitive currency to dollar CNY in Asia. So for every 1% move that you have in dollar CNY, you get a corresponding 1% move in dollar ringgit. I think one of the reasons why that happens is that if there's a big move in dollar CNY, people tend to take a negative view of risk assets in general. And as a result of that, people tend to express that via ringgit. And that's why dollar ringgit moves as well, in sympathy with a move higher in dollar CNY.
How much lower can the ringgit get? Or to what extent has the market priced in, say, a 2 or 3 Fed rate hikes this year?
Yeah, so market is pricing in about 2 rate hikes this year. As a worst case scenario, if Fed rate hikes actually 3 times this year, along with a big move in dollar CNY, where dollar CNY breaks to 710 or 720 kind of levels, then of course you will see a secular move in dollar Asia higher as well. I would add here that ringgit in that kind of scenario will probably do better than the other Asian currencies. And there are 2 main reasons for that. One is valuations are already very stretched. So if you see another big move, there are going to be more foreign investors who are going to look very attractively at Malaysia. The second is foreign positioning. Given that market is already underweight Malaysia, there isn't much more position reduction that can happen. So Indonesia, for example, there can be significant amount of foreign portfolio outflows. That's not the same case with Malaysia, because over the last 2 or 3 years, you've already had significant amount of portfolio outflows. So in that kind of scenario, we actually think that the ringgit will outperform the rest of the region. In terms of levels, it really depends on how severe things get. So our forecast is 460 for mid of this year. But if things do escalate, which is not our view, then surely dollar ringgit can overshoot our forecast in that scenario.
Now, Bank Negara has taken measures to improve the liquidity of the ringgit. What do you think of its move so far?
Right, I think the main problem with dollar ringgit has been that liquidity has deteriorated quite significantly. And in that sense, the BNM's measures tackle or are targeted at the right problem. In our view, onshore dollar supply should improve by $4 to $5 billion over the course of the year. And I think if you look at the initial data for December, that suggests that it's on track to actually improve dollar supply. So it should be at the margin favorable for ringgit.
Thank you, Divya. And that was Divya Devish, FX strategist for ASEAN and South Asia with Standard Chartered Bank. I caught up with him at Standard Chartered's Global Research Briefing 2017. And now Julian Ng speaks to Dodge Dolan, Chief Investment Officer at Lander & Fuse Capital Managers in New York.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.